الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected elders, brothers in Islam, specifically here in the United Kingdom and in general throughout the Western world, we see that over the last century, 1.5 centuries, religion as a whole is experiencing a downfall. Christianity, Judaism, spirituality, religiousness as a whole is decreasing in this area of the world. And this is something we are all aware of. We know that church attendance is down from what it was 20 years ago. Churches themselves are now left abandoned, turned into bingo halls and community centres. And we see this happening not just in England but throughout the Western world, and this is a fact now. Sociologists identify this as the process of secularization, meaning that become more non-religious, and they admit and accept that this will continue. People will become less and less religious in this country. At the same time, we are aware and we are often reminded that Islam in the West is the fastest growing religion. Time and time again we hear how, whereas other religions are getting less and less popular, Islam is increasing in numbers, and not just amongst the poor, amongst the uneducated, but rather amongst the academics, amongst those people who are clever and intelligent people. So we see two patterns that are emerging in the West as a whole: the decrease in religion, but the increase in Islam. Living in this country, because people around us are becoming less and less religious, and that Islam is actually becoming more popular, you may think that this, for us, should not seem to be a problem. The fact that as long as our own religion is increasing in numbers, then what difference does it make to you and I if people are less interested now in Christianity, or people less interested in Judaism? Why would it affect us at all? So from the outlook, it seems that if religion is getting less popular in this country, as long as Islam is still strong, then why should we worry about how others feel about their faith? However, there is one point that I'd like to make, and this is expressed in this Hadith Sharif that I recited to you, that the fact that religion is getting less and less important in the West really is a problem for us all, Muslims included. Because religion, deen, and I'm not just talking about Islam, religion does not just talk about the worship of God or performing certain rituals. Like the Christians will go to the church, the Sikhs will go to their gurdwara, the Muslims will go to their mosques. Religion is not just about the worship of their deity, of their God. Religion also, a major part of all religions, is the moral teachings. It's the teachings about akhlaq. It's the teachings about how you deal with one another. And what you will see in all religions, whether it is Judaism, Christianity, Islam, all religions give a very strong emphasis to the importance of akhlaq. And now what we find is, because religion is becoming less and less important in society today, therefore akhlaq and morals are becoming less and less important. And that is the situation that we see around us today. The reason why we see so much immorality, why we see so much indecency, why we see that people have lost their moral compass, is purely because of the fact that people are not religious anymore. Before, they had that guide behind them. Whether they actually went to church or not was an entirely different matter, but at least they knew that it is moral teachings, it is the teachings of Jesus to look after your neighbors, to respect your parents, to be courteous towards the young, to show respect to the elders. This is something that Jesus taught, this is the same thing that Guru Nanak taught, this is the same thing that all prophets, regardless of their backgrounds, taught. All religions by nature teach good, and this is why Jalaluddin Rumi, he famously once said that all religions in reality are the light from the same lamp. There's different directions it's going in, but in reality all religions, they come from the same lamp, they come from the same siraj, because they all kind of, in some essence, they all teach the same thing. And the problem we see in this country, because religion is becoming less and less important, so is our akhlaq, so is our morality. And the Prophet summed this up in one other hadith in which he said, Al-haya'u wal-imanu jama'a wahidatan. That haya, sharam or modesty, and iman, jama'a wahidatan, are joined together. فَإِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخِرِ. When one of them disappears, then the other one automatically disappears. So if your haya or your sharam disappears, then your iman disappears straight away. If your iman disappears, then your haya disappears as well. They are two sides of the same coin, and that's exactly what we are seeing today. So this hadith that I recited to you is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in its most clearest form, warned us about the danger of immorality, and specifically this idea of modesty. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Muslims, he said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. That if you have no modesty within you, if you have no sharam, if you have no haya, then do whatever you want. فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. You are free to do whatever you want. The literal meaning of that is that you are free to go wherever you want, to do whatever you want. And what the ulama ikram state is that this hadith can be taken in two ways. Either it is a statement, or you can take it as a warning. What it means is, as a statement, what it means is that when people have no haya in them, no modesty in them, then automatically they will do whatever they want. They will have no consideration for others. They will have no idea of whether something is right or wrong morally and religiously. Or we can take this as a warning from the Prophet, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, that if you do not have sharam, then do whatever you want. Meaning, the Prophet is telling us that if you don't have haya, then do whatever you want, because you are out of the fold of my control. You are no longer showing Islamic traits. So you could do whatever you want, it's up to you now. It's a bit like the verse from the Holy Quran in which Allah says, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, that the truth is from your Lord. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the truth is from your Lord. So whoever once can believe and whoever once can disbelieve. That I have made it clear, I have given you the Quran. So whoever wants to believe, it will be in their benefit. Whoever wants to become a kafir, let him become a kafir and he will be subject to the fire of hell. In exactly the same way, the Prophet here is saying that if you have no modesty within you, you have no morality within you, then do what you want. But you will face the anjama on the day of judgment. You will face that punishment on the day of judgment. And unfortunately, going back to what I was saying earlier, is that because people have lost interest in religion, people automatically have lost interest in akhlaq, in morality. And that is why we see a clear sign of that this week, that the highest honor or title that can be given to a member of the British public, a knighthood, was actually given to a corrupt, ignorant, illiterate, satanic person like Salman Rushdie. This can only happen in an immoral society. This can only happen where we have no moral guide anymore. That a person with no decency can actually have the right now to be called Sir Salman Rushdie. And people forget that a knighthood is no simple title. A knighthood, this is a great country with a great tradition and legacy. This title goes back to thousands of years. That was given to important people as part of the British history, and then they give it to someone like Salman Rushdie. And in defense of it, we hear two main arguments. Firstly, the award was given to Salman Rushdie because he is a prize-winning author. Now, even if you were to accept that for a moment, that he is a prize-winning author, he did win a prize for some of his works. He won a prize for a book he wrote in 1981 called Midnight Children. That was 26 years ago. Why are they giving him the honor now if they say that he is getting the knighthood for his award-winning literature? That book was written 26 years ago. Why have they decided now to give that honor? And there's the prize that he won, the Booker Prize, which is an obviously a very prestigious award in literature, There have been 26 people after that who have also won the Booker Prize. None of them have received a knighthood. The second argument that they will use, and they have been very clear about this British government, is that Salman Rushdie stands for freedom of speech in this country, the right to say what you want. And because he was a symbol of that, that is why he has been given the knighthood. Again, this is completely hypocritical. And for those who remember the original, who remember the time when Satanic Verses first came out in the late 80s, just prior to that, there was a book written by a former MI5 government agent called Peter Wright. He wrote a book called Spycatcher. He used to work for the Secret Service in the British government, and he wrote this book, and in this book he exposed a lot of the secrets that the British government was doing. A lot of the secret works, a lot of the assassination attempts that they were doing, all the secret works. And quite clearly, if freedom of speech actually works in this country and is believable, then surely this man, Peter Wright, had every right to publish what he had to say. If freedom of speech is as it is in this country, that you have complete freedom to say what you want, then surely no one should have stopped Peter Wright from saying what he wanted to in this book, even if it was against the government, even if he was exposing assassination attempts. Within months of its release, the British government banned the book. They banned this book, Spycatcher. And I ask, where is freedom of speech then? That freedom of speech, it seems, in this country is that you're free to say what you want as long as we like it and as long as it suits our own means, rather than freedom of speech for the sake of it. And it seems unfortunate that we are going down this road, and it is a worry for us. Yes, as individually, we should be happy that Islam is increasing as a whole. But when we hear that religion is declining as a whole in the West, we should be worried. Because religion brings with it this moral compass which tells us what is right and what is wrong. Because now you see a lot of the problems that we have is because, going back to akhlaq, these teenage pregnancies, the disrespect in schools, where teachers are being hurt, where teachers are being hit, all of these fine things come back to morality. It comes back to akhlaq. So we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from such problems, from such indecency, and pray to Him that we ourselves become good moral characters like that displayed by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghu al-mubin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim wa salli alayhi. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Allahumma a'inna ala tilawatil Qur'an wa zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi wa nuri arshihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.